where we're using CDBG funds to add sidewalk in the, focusing mainly in the, near the downtown area, making that connectivity. And then that should be starting 3 weeks.
Some of the sidewalk activity is early as Monday.
As early as Monday, but the, for the most part, in about 3 weeks, the, for the work on dunes and then on that section of Main Street that they're doing. And then our pavement rehab project, we council authorized that contract extension, and we have a pre-construction meeting with the contractor coming up tomorrow where they'll distribute the schedule. So I'll keep the, we'll keep the public advised through the website and these meetings. What else? Oh, the WRF project. As everybody knows, council has selected their preferred site. We're looking at South Bay Boulevard. They've also directed staff to continue the environmental review. So we've gotten ESA back on the job working on the South Bay Boulevard site. Some key dates by council, October 24th, this next council meeting, they'll review and potentially approve the request for qualifications, and they'll confirm their project goals. On November 14th, we're looking to award a contract for the lift station and force main design. On December 12th, we'll be looking at the assumptions used in the previous rate study and the current rate study to see if a larger project could be funded with the existing rates. And also on December 12th, we'll be reviewing the program management structure. And I'd be happy to answer any, or staff here would be happy to answer any questions the board might have on any of the other items that are on the director's report.
Thank you, Rob. Chris, do you have any questions? Okay, we'll start on the other end. Christopher? Jen?
Out of curiosity, on the water and the Charles stream gauge, every meeting we have, that some, is this the one that everybody, you're always talking about not being able to get on the property to read the gauge? And now it's they're going, you're going to decide if it, if it's necessary to maintain this water right?
So through our water system evaluation with our one water planning effort, before we spend a large sum of money on a gauging, couple of gauging stations out there, we ought to confirm that the Choro watershed is a viable water source, rather than spending, you know, a quarter to $500,000 on gauging stations and fish passage. Determine whether it is actually the water supply for the city's future. So that you'll be seeing the initial criteria for the One Water future water needs of the city coming to PWAP, I believe, next month. Is we had to move the schedule around a little bit to accommodate the new city manager coming in, and then it'll be going to council in December. So you can look forward to that at your next meeting.
But is this the same property where you've had the gauge that you haven't been able to read? Because
We have a temporary gauge that we have access rights to. It's on RCD property. Resource Conservation District owns the property. The issue is with the environmental review, Army Corps of Engineers referred the permit to National Marine Fisheries Service, mm-hmm. and they have an issue with the type of gauge that it could potentially block fish passage. So that's the major concern right now. So rather than spending a lot of money studying and designing for something, we want to confirm that water supply is needed. That water supply comes with a few strings. We can only use it when Choro stream flow is above 1.4 CFS, which is not typically when we need the water is the stream flow up high. And then also that groundwater basin is does have nitrate issues with it, so it needs to be treated before we can get it into the system.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a couple questions or comments on the consolidated maintenance, talking about the South Bay Boulevard, the weed abatement that was going on there. I really appreciate seeing that the other week. It had gotten to the point where I was almost ready to just pull over one day with my little loppers because some of those bike lanes were 100% blocked by the weeds that were sticking out. So that saved me a little work. I do notice also on the other side of South Bay Boulevard, a lot of the ice plant has creeped over the curbs into the bicycle lane, as well as that always seems to be a high collection point of debris. I'm wondering, do we plan to do anything with that before winter? Or
I will tell you this, staff wasn't able to accomplish what we wanted to Columbus Day, and it was due to the fact that a piece of rental equipment didn't arrive, the correct piece of rental equipment. We had intended to do some what's called a brush hog, and it's basically on a articulated arm, so we could reach out and over and up and down to do quite a bit more and faster. So we did have the California Conservation Corps hard at work out there on manual labor, and we were able to incorporate a crack sealing operation at the same time with that traffic control that we had. So yes, the answer to your question is we didn't accomplish what we wanted to, and we fully intend to get back in before the end of this calendar year with that correct piece of equipment to do some more. And we'll probably come back with an amended traffic flow, not a full stopping one-way go. One-way traffic will probably have a slow-moving work zone.
Okay. And part of that question dealt with the ice plant that grows over the curb on, I guess that would be either the northwest side. That would be cleared out also probably.
We would focus on removing what's encroaching on the road, probably not on an eradication. That would take, I would imagine, a couple different applications of a herbicide and or physical removing of what's there.
But at least removing what is there.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And on the, let's see, sidewalk repair and installation, since this is being done with CDBG funds, normally we require sidewalks, curb and gutter with new development, and these are lots that have been developed in the past. Are we going to try to get any reimbursement from these, from the various property owners? I know the city owns some of that property, or is it going to simply be because it's from the CDBG that will cover it?
It would be, with the already developed lots, difficult to, without it going through the Proposition 218 process, and because it's a property related, would be a property related fee to get reimbursement for that. As we move out to where there has been development and we've deferred sidewalk installation, where there might be a house that develops in the middle of a block with no sidewalk in either side, we've allowed the property owner to defer that installation of that sidewalk. If as we move to those areas, we would require that either the homeowner participate with our project or they would have the option of installing themselves. But that's where we would capture that recent development in the sidewalk projects.
Okay, thank you. On the, let's see, stormwater. Where are we here? Oh, yeah. Let's see. John had a question on what the map looked like for the stormwater. I guess that's the track two. Let's see. Oh, here we are over here. Yeah, the the city submitted the required map highlighting the priority land uses. So John, in his email, had asked what the map looked like. Is that something that will be shown sometime, or?
Yeah, I can share that map. Basically, it highlights different land uses. They have residential land uses that have 10 lots per acre is high residential, and then industrial and commercial areas. So they have you highlight in any of those that meet those zoning requirements, and then you can refine those as you go through this process.
Okay. Did you get a copy of that email that John had sent?
I did not.
Questions? Okay. And since he's not here tonight, I think that's why he submitted it. Maybe if you could send a copy of the map to him. And let's see, under trees, it mentions the urban forest management, that there would be removal of several dead and diseased trees at various locations, along with three palm trees on Main Street. I'm curious, which three palm trees do you know what part of Main Street those are located on?
Yeah, it's on the corner of Main and Driftwood. It's for the sidewalk
up there at Driftwood
project there. Okay. So they're right in the way there, the sidewalk going through.
Okay. And let's see, on the wastewater treatment, it indicated that staff responded to two after-hour call-outs on September for chlorine plant adjustment. Are those call-outs by an alarm that goes off, or what brings about that situation, and is there any ramification for?
Yeah, we actually have an automated alarm system that alarms and calls out staff in case of either a high or a low chlorine residual. So it's still within our limits. We're still meeting our disinfection requirements, but it just alerts us that an adjustment is needed.
Okay. Thank you. And that's all questions I have for the staff report, director's report. So if there's no more questions, then we'll go on to B2, the street sweeping program.
And we have a short presentation that we've prepared for this item, and Mike's going to lead it off, and we're all here to answer questions.
I think this information is probably in your packets, but this is for the benefit of the audience and the viewers. Street sweeping, who, what, where, when, and why of street sweeping. So who conducts our street sweeping? We currently contract with SP Maintenance, and we've been with them since 2011. In 2011, we had an all-inclusive contract where they swept everything in the city at least twice a month, and it was a $54,044.25 per year agreement, which is $4,753.69 per month. In 2014, we amended that sweeping schedule or that agreement, and we reduced the quantity of sweeping. There are many streets without curb and gutter that we were able to bring down to an annual sweep. I believe the reasoning was that the street sweeper was actually bringing more debris into the street off of the non-curb and gutter locations than they were moving from incidental contact from vehicles and pedestrians and whatnot. So that contractor was reduced significantly down to $37,582.56 per year, or basically $3,131.88 per month. There has been some talk with our current contractor about the rise in fuel costs and the cost of trucking debris, and we've decided that we will probably go out to we'll recirculate a request for bid for a new street sweeping contract. Our current contractor will be included in that that request or that invitation. What is street sweeping? A mechanical way of cleaning the city streets. There are five major basic different types of sweepers: mechanical broom, which is what we largely use here, regenerative air, a pure vacuum, a waterless dust control, a mechanical with mechanical or reduced water dust control, regenerative. I do have some short descriptions here if there are questions on what those are. I didn't know personally. We had to do a little research to find out more detail on these different sweeping types. Like I said, we use most of the mechanical broom. Our vendor, our contractor, does have a vacuum truck, which we'll bring out on different occasions for different types of material or debris. Where and when the street sweeping is conducted. This is a map that can be found pretty easily on the city's website under public services. It'll be one of the bullet points. It shows routes and the frequency of those routes. Street sweeping schedule, heavily soiled areas such as Embarcadero and downtown are swept weekly. Streets with curb and gutter outside of the soiled areas are swept twice a month. City-owned parking lots are swept semi-monthly. And all remaining streets are swept once a year prior to the rainy season. We just completed that operation about 2 weeks ago, the annual sweep. Why is street sweeping conducted? The EPA recognizes street sweeping as a best management practice, a BMP, for reducing pollution. Street sweeping removes the street dirt, which contains stormwater pollutants, such as sediments, nutrients, metals, hydrocarbons, bacteria, pesticides, trash, and other toxic chemicals. Street sweeping is a stormwater general permit requirement per the RWQCB, Regional Water Quality Control Board. Changing the frequency requires approval from that board. On average, the City of Morro Bay removes 220 to 250 tons of street dirt annually. Any questions?
Jan, do you have any questions? At this time.
Where do they take the street dirt that they remove? Where do they empty it?
It's brought to landfill.
Okay. That was just off the top of my head question. Okay.
Christopher?
So what the current plan, is that what we submitted to the, as part of our stormwater plan? And you said the annual report was due in October. Is this what we submitted, what we're currently doing is what is submitted?
Yeah, what we currently sweep, that frequency is required in our permit. So they'll ask sometimes how much material we remove and stuff like that in the curb miles.
Chris?
So the reduction down to once a year for those streets, they didn't have an issue with that, and I'm assuming that's the minimum they want us to go.
Yeah, that is the minimum I could get them to go down to. I explained what it was doing to the streets, and it wasn't actually causing any good. So they were okay with that. And the other purpose is that research shows that the street sweeping works best on curb and gutter because the debris goes to the gutter, and that's where it gets collected. If there's no gutter, it kind of goes off the side of the road, and you can't sweep that.
And then I noticed this map says revised street sweeping frequency. Did anything really change between current year and what we're proposing? Or what did change?
Yeah, the old one was where we swept like a lot of those streets much more often. Yeah.
You had asked if they were okay with the change in frequency being the board. We have received a number of complaints from the general public, and out of the 36 complaints in the last 12 months, 29 were debris in the roadway, meaning something's fallen off a truck or somebody's dropped something. They needed an additional sweep to pick up a debris in a specific location or specific block. Six of those calls were the streets were not swept often enough. And that's the statement. I don't think that annually is enough. I don't think that twice a month is enough for my neighbor. And one of those complaints was a citizen who recognized that there was something wrong with the sweeper itself, that it had a broken part, that it wasn't operating correctly. So essentially, all 36 are complaints saying that we don't feel this being swept well enough.
Okay. Let's see. On the stormwater plan, we're submitting the Track 2 plan, or we will have a plan. Will that have any effect on the sweeping requirements with the Regional Water Quality Board?
Yes, it could. So the trash policy has where you can put in trash devices and storm drains everywhere, or you can do other best management practices, and street sweeping is one of those. We do sweep the streets regularly in a lot of those areas that are considered high trash areas, so I don't know. We'll have to evaluate it and see whether we have to increase or not. So.
Now, something that I've observed a lot, and I've heard other people talk about, the vehicle just goes too fast to pick up the debris. And basically, like on my street, it's sort of like a snail trail that you see weaving in and out, and you've got this sort of dirt trail. The brush on the curbside kicks everything out from the curb, and it's sort of in this little path in the middle of the street, and even though it looks like a snail's trail, it goes real fast. The vehicle seems to go real fast, not really interested in collecting any of the dirt or, you know, cleaning anything up, mainly just making its miles for the day or, you know, finishing its route. Is there any way that we can add some quality assurance as to what's being done? And one of the comments that John had left in his email was that there will be thick areas, especially around intersections. This is something I've noticed, where it will collect at the intersections and just, you know, sweeper goes across it, doesn't really spend any time collecting everything that's there, it's just passing by. Is there anything that we can do about that to actually make this sort of worthwhile spending the gas running up and down the streets?
Yeah, so we appreciate as immediate a feedback as we can get on that. The street sweeper is in town every week, and if he needs to go to an area that he wouldn't normally do, we will advise him of that in the morning first thing and say we need to go resweep. In fact, a large percentage of those 29 complaints were very similar. It's, hey, the street sweeper came through here, but he left a bunch of stuff in the intersection, or he didn't do the curb along the median. That one was recently identified up at Cloisters, and there are two. There's a right and left-hand brush, and the left-hand brush on the truck was not functioning. He didn't do the inner sweep on the median because he knew his equipment was broken. And apparently it's been that way for a while because I went to inspect it. There's quite a little pile of debris along that inner curb. But as soon as we can get that kind of feedback, that constructive feedback, we will get it out to the driver and try to make improvements on him, on his performance. We do get a printout monthly with the invoice of his GPS coordinates, where he's been, and that printout gives me a blip every 5 minutes of where he's been. And we did sit down on mapping one time and figure out that he's driving the recommended 3 to 5 miles per hour recommended by the equipment manufacturer on the GPS printout I get. So if he's got the brooms up and he's moving or he's turning around, I'm just going to assume he's moving a little bit quicker than that, or if he's moving from neighborhood to neighborhood. The brooms may not be hitting the ground, but they might be spinning, so it could be observed that he's brooming at 15 miles an hour. I don't know, but we, like I said, we appreciate the feedback. As soon as we can get it, we do communicate with that driver on a weekly basis.
Okay. I know the few times, you know, like once a year for my street, after the street sweeper comes in, I have to go out to the street and sweep everything back to the curb because it's all in the middle of the street. Are there any other comments or questions from board members on this subject? Oh, I do have one more. On what's the timeline that you might be going out on a bid for a new contract, and how long would the contract be for?
So I think we've talked about doing this sometime after the first of the year, getting that contract, the request for bids out, so that before we reach the next annual sweeping period, we would have a new contractor in place. We'll take comments that we have on quality control, incorporate those into the performance measures. I don't believe that the last contract had very much QC required of the contractor. It depended a lot on us to do their QC for them. So we need to put that back on the contractor, although we'll
pay for whatever we ask for. So fortunately or unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of there's not a big market for contract street sweeping, so we don't anticipate getting a lot of bids on it, but we anticipate getting more than one bid on that work.
Okay, yeah, I know, I appreciate, you know, the fact that it's something that we're required to do for the Water Quality Board. I'm guessing that part of why the reduction in the street sweeping was simply budgetary, because it's just, you know, everything's being trimmed if it's possible. You know, it's just one of those long-running things, as you've heard in some of your complaints, where it just doesn't seem to be doing the job, or it's, you know, just not frequent enough. I guess if we had all the money available, we could have it done better and more frequently.
Yes, I mean, that's a balancing act that we play, is the balance between what the permit requires and achieving what the community desires as far as street sweeping within the budget that we have available. I guess if I had my druthers, I probably wouldn't street sweep the streets at all that didn't have curb and gutter, because it all just runs off to the shoulder area and is not conveyed to easily conveyed to a stormwater system. There, you typically know a pipe, hard pipe system where you don't have curb and gutter. So I think it's needed even less frequently in those areas, and hit the curb and gutter areas more frequently.
All right. Thank you all very much for the very good report. Are there any other questions before we leave this item? Chris?
How are those streets without the curb and gutter done? Do they stay away from the edge of the road so they're not throwing the dirt back on the road?
Yeah, they're supposed to stay a foot away from the edge of the road. And if they also, so if they get too close to the edge, they kind of peel up the AC surface too. So a lot of those streets, especially in the north end, they don't have very much thickness to begin with.
Okay. C, potential future agenda items. Anything you would like to mention that's coming up? I think you did mention the
yes,
one water.
Yes, the one water, future water selection criteria. So determining what are the important values when we're considering the city's long-term water supply is what we'll be discussing. And then Kroll will also give us an update on where they are overall in the one water planning effort, their modeling effort that they've been doing on the water and sewer systems and such.
Okay. Thank you. Any other last questions? I do have one last question. It's mainly just a general information. Out there on Main Street and Radcliffe, last year a fence went up, and then some, it looks like a storage yard was built there. Is that city property? Is that a city storage yard, or is that private?
That's a private property. I think it's a contractor's storage yard there. It's a industrial zoned area, and that's an allowed use in that zoning district.
I just thought that it might possibly be the city's, because, you know, we had the with the bike park, that part, I think, had been part city property, wasn't
that,
it?
That the bike park is for the most part on a city piece of property. They lease a small piece of PG&E property there for some of the parking, but for the most part the bike park's on a city-owned lot there. But on either side, to the north, it's all PG&E property. To the south, directly adjacent to the bike park, is PG&E, and then that lot right on the corner is a privately held piece.
Okay, thank you very much for the information.
And you'll see, so they'll be doing some work there. They have to put in curb gutter and sidewalk around that corner there, so you'll see some improvements there.
On that same piece of property, I noticed that his fence goes through the guy wire holding up the power pole.
Yes, it does. I was surprised about that, too.
Okay, if there's no other questions or comments, then we will adjourn to the November 15th meeting, 2017. Thank you all very much for coming.
Thank you.